Continuation of Chapter 5, page 24. What happens when a person keeps practicing sexual immoralities? We have explained in the Bible study titled Come Home that the moment we are born again, we receive eternal life. A sister told me that we should not tell people that truth because it'll cause them to sin some more. People are afraid to tell you that when you are born again, you've received eternal life because they think that it'll give the new convert the license to practice sin. Grace is not a license for sin, but it is the unmerited favor of God and His divine enablement to live a life above sin, to have dominion over sin. So a sister asked me, are the Christians who practice those sexual immoralities born again or not? There are three answers to the said question. The first one is that they are born again, but do not have the knowledge of the written word of God. God said, My people perish for lack of knowledge, and because they have rejected the knowledge. Hosea 4 verse 6. Many Christians simply do not know what is written in the Bible because they do not read their Bible. The Bible is clear, saying, Do you not know that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminates, or homosexuals, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners, shall inherit the kingdom of God. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 9-10. We have explained all those works of the flesh in the Bible study, Application of the Perfect Redemption Plan, in the section, Work of the Flesh versus Fruit of the Spirit. The truth is, when you are born again, your body has become the temple of the Holy Spirit. God dwells in you, and so does Jesus. And whenever you practice unrighteousness, it grieves the Holy Spirit. If you are still practicing the unrighteous things Paul has just listed, fornication, idolatry, adultery, homosexuality, theft, robbery, covetousness, practicing extortion, drunkenness, wild drinking parties like clubbing and pubbing, and different ways of abusing yourself or other people, rape, incest, etc., you shall not inherit the kingdom of God. The Holy Spirit in you would have made you feel so bad because He would have convicted you that what you are doing is of the devil and not of God. Whenever a person who professes to be a Christian and practices the things listed above is not remorseful and enjoys it, that person most likely is not born again. When you are born again, the Spirit of God convicts you that what you are doing is not right. And many times the first reaction is that you will pick up your phone and call another Christian brother or sister to tell him or her what you have done. It is a sign that the Spirit has convicted you that what you are doing is not right, and it grieves the Holy Spirit. If you were not born again, you would not even bother calling that brother or sister to tell him or her that you have sinned. The reason why you are calling is because you are a new creation now. All things are passed away, and behold, all things are new, and all things in you are of God now. That is why, when you sin, the Holy Spirit in you wants to help you get out of that sin, though you do not even know it yet. Paul tells us, Adam was not deceived, but Eve was. 1 Timothy 2, verse 14. Do not be deceived. Men are never deceived when it comes to sexual sins, but women are sometimes deceived. Even recently, it's been proven in the court of law that a man cannot be raped by a woman. Why? Because if the man is not interested in having intercourse with a woman, he will not have an erection, even if a loaded gun is placed on his head. Some women have low self-esteem and do not love themselves, so they seek approval in the arms of men. I remember when I came out of the world and God healed my backsliding. I told the woman I used to fornicate with, I will go to a seminary and become a Catholic priest or become a Pentecostal preacher. She begged me, do not do that. What will people think about me? Was it such a bad experience that you being with me that it gave you ideas of becoming a preacher of the gospel? But I did not listen to her. I went to Bible college and became a preacher of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Some women, when things like that happen to them, their boyfriend is now saved and decides to go to Bible school to preach the gospel of Jesus, or their husband or boyfriend decides to leave them for another woman, or, worse, leave them for another man. It truly damages their self-esteem. They feel rejected and think it's their fault. So sometimes they will go out with another man and fornicate or commit adultery because they want to feel desired by another man. For them, being in that man's arms is a sign of acceptance. At least I am desirable to this man. He does not reject me like my boyfriend, who got saved and left me for Jesus and Bible college, or my husband who left me for another woman, or left me for another man. The man who commits adultery or fornication with that woman is not deceived. He knows exactly what he is after, and he is preying on the miserable woman like a wolf around a ewe. The Bible says that kind of man is the wolf in sheep's clothing. They come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ferocious wolves. Matthew 7, verse 15. The sheep represents a born-again Christian. So those men act like born-again Christians. They quote the Bible. They talk Christianese. But they are not Christians. Beware of such men. When such men come and entice you to practice sexual immoralities, tell them, let us pray first, and in your prayer say out loud, let us pray. Father, I thank you for giving me the victory over all sexual immoralities, adultery, and fornication included, through my Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 57. Thank you, because I know that I am born again. I no longer practice sin, for he or she who practices sin belongs to the devil. But I belong to God, and all things in me are of God, and you were manifested in my life to destroy the works of the devil, starting with sin. 1 John 3, verse 8. I know, and I am not deceived about the truth, that no fornicator and no adulterer shall inherit eternal life. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 9 to 10. Fornicators and adulterers have their place in hell and in the lake of fire. Revelation 21, verse 8. But as for me, I have received eternal life the very day I was born again, and I will not be in hell and thrown into the lake of fire like the adulterers and fornicators. Thus I do not practice them, and I thank my God always, leads me in triumph through my Lord Jesus Christ, and through me he diffuses a fragrance of his knowledge in every place. 2 Corinthians 2, verse 14. In Jesus' name I have prayed. Amen. My sisters, beware of some men in the church. They are wolves in sheep's clothing. A man is never deceived when it comes to sexual immorality. Women need to know that they will never find their acceptance through a man or being in bed with a man. If a man who professes to be a Christian wants to be with you, he will do things the Bible way. He will go to church and marry you. He will not defile your body by sleeping with you before marriage. Paul says, marriage should be honored by all, and the marriage bed kept pure, for God will judge the adulterer and all sexually immoral. Hebrews 13, verse 4. Yes, God will judge the adulterers, fornicators, homosexuals, and all sexual immorality. We ought to honor marriage and keep the marriage bed pure. Women who do practice sexual immorality have low self-esteem. They do not know who they are in Christ or do not believe what God says about them. What those women must understand is that each one of them is accepted in the beloved Jesus. Ephesians 1 verse 6. They will never find acceptance in the arms of a man or from one bed to another. In fact, it even makes it worse because every breakup they have lowers their standard. Women must understand that they are queens in the eyes of God, and any man who does not treat them as such does not know how to treat women. The Bible says about born-again women, "But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into this wonderful light." 1 Peter 2 verse 9. John tells us, "You, Jesus, made us kings or queens and priests or priestesses to our God, and we will reign over the earth." Revelations 5 verse 10. So you are queens, and Jesus is the king of all the queens. You are a priestess, and Jesus is your high priest. Therefore, let no man treat you like a commoner or concubine. In the book of Esther, in the first chapter, we have the story of Queen Vashti. The king Ahasuerus made a feast for his nobles and sent his servant to go and ask Queen Vashti to come wearing nothing, naked, but her royal crown on her head, in order to show her beauty to the people and the officials, for she was beautiful to behold. Now, according to Jewish Targum, a translation or paraphrase of the sacred scriptures in the Chaldean language or dialect, Vashti was the daughter of King Cyrus, and it tells us that in the days of the kingdom of the Chaldeans, kings and nobles invited their concubines and prostitutes to their feasts, but not their wives. They treated their wives with respect and would not allow them to act like prostitutes, who would be dancing naked before other men or half-dressed. So they treated those concubines and prostitutes with indecency. That which is unbecoming in language or manners, any action or behavior which is deemed a violation of modesty or an offense to delicacy, as rude or wanton actions, obscene language, and whatever tends to excite a blush in a spectator. Now, a concubine is a woman who cohabits with a man, without the authority of legal marriage, a woman kept for lewd purposes. Lured means given to the unlawful indulgence of lust, addicted to fornication or adultery, a kept mistress. Every born-again man is a king under Jesus, who is the King of Kings, and is a priest under Jesus, who is our high priest. So, if a man who professes to be born again wants to treat a born-again sister, who is a queen and priestess under Jesus, the King of all queens, like a concubine or a prostitute, that sister must refuse to be so treated. For you will never marry a concubine or prostitute, but you sleep with them and you treat them with indecency. That is why born-again Christians do not cohabit before getting married, because that is the way they treat concubines. But Jesus says, "Have you not read that He, God, who made them at the beginning, made them male and female, and said, 'For this cause a man shall leave father and mother, and shall cling to his wife, and the two of them shall be one flesh'?" Matthew 19, verse 4 to 5. So both the man and the woman leave their parents' house and start living under the same roof after they are married. They certainly do not cohabit before marriage. The Bible says, "Queen Vashti refused to come at the king's command brought by the eunuchs. Therefore the king was furious and his anger burned within him." Esther 1 verse 12. Queen Vashti, I did not say concubine Vashti, and I did not say prostitute Vashti, but I said Queen Vashti refused to be treated like a concubine or a prostitute. When you know who you are in Christ, a queen, a priestess to God, under Jesus, your King of Queens and High Priest of Priestesses, you will not allow any man to treat you as a concubine or prostitute. It cost Queen Vashti her crown. She was removed from being queen. Being a queen has nothing to do with the earthly crown men set on your head, but with who you are and how you see yourself in the light of the scriptures. And any truly born-again man, a king and a priest, will never treat any sister like a concubine or prostitute. When a person has low self-esteem, he will even sell his or her body as a prostitute. There are male prostitutes as well as women prostitutes. All those gigolos or male escorts, female escorts, people who trade sex for accommodation, for a promotion at work, they are but prostitutes, even if it's only once. Still, in the book of Esther, in chapter 2, many women wanted to become a queen, and so beauty preparations were given unto them. And when their time came, they could ask for anything they wanted to wear, expensive dresses, expensive jewels, and all was paid from the treasury of the king. So those women were there for the money of the king Ahasuerus. They had low self-esteem about who they were. They thought wearing expensive dresses and expensive jewels would give them acceptance and bestow upon them the title of queen. My friend, you are a king or a queen, not because of what you wear or the money in your bank account. So the king Ahasuerus knew that those women who had low self-esteem and were moved by those earthly possessions were not worthy to be bestowed a title of queen, but at best they were to be his concubines. And the Bible records, "And in this way the young woman came to the king. Whatever she desired was given to her, to go with her out of the house of the woman to the king's house. She went in the evening, and on the next day she returned to the second house of the woman, into the hand of Shazgaz, the king's officer, who kept the concubines. She did not come into the king any more, unless the king delighted in her, and she was called by name." Esther 2, verse 13 to 14. Some women tell me, "Jerry, you do not understand my situation. I am in great distress, so I have to compromise my faith." I was talking to a sister who came from a country of war, and she was a widow and had daughters. They were now living in a foreign country as refugees, and they were facing terrible financial problems and immigration problems. But they were genuine Christians. But because of the pressure and great distress and financial troubles, they were thinking of committing fornication, so that they would be pregnant and through the child their situation would be sorted out, or living in fornication with a man and be pregnant of that man to force him to marry them, so that their situation could be sorted out. They knew it was not God's will for their life, but they did not want to go back to that country where they saw their loved ones being murdered, and they were tired of their prolonged famine in the new country where they were refugees. I gave them some scriptures and prayed with them. But when I came home, it truly troubled me, and I cried out to the Lord for that widow and her daughters. I prayed that they would not compromise their walk of faith. I asked God, "Show me a situation in the Bible that addresses their issues." Then the Lord took me to the book of Ruth. In chapter 1 of the book of Ruth, we see that there was a famine in the land of Israel, and a man of Judah who lived in Bethlehem left Judah for the land of Moab. Elimelech was his name. He left his wife Naomi and his two sons for the land of Moab. His sons married there from the daughters of Moab, but in the course of time Elimelech and his sons died. Naomi was now a widow, and his daughter-in-law Ruth, who also was now a widow, decided to go back with her into the land of Judah. When they came to Bethlehem in Judah, they had nothing, because of all the calamities that befell them in Moab. They were widows and were in deep financial trouble. In chapter 2 of the book of Ruth, we see Ruth gleaning in the field of Boaz, which is to gather the stalks and ears of grain which reapers leave behind them. Gleaning was for poor people, foreigners, widows, and orphans. And today you might feel like Naomi and Ruth. You are only eating people's leftovers. You only buy clothes from the charity shops. You only have small jobs like babysitting or cleaning people's homes. You know that you can do more in life and you have great potential. But because you're a foreigner, widow, orphan, or refugee, you are not entitled to do more than gleaning, and you are frustrated. Naomi and Ruth know exactly what you are going through. So Naomi decided that their famine and all troubles can be over if one of them got married or had a child. But Naomi was too old to have children, and at that age it might have taken her longer to find a man who would be willing to marry her, for many men want young women. So Naomi talked to Ruth and said to her, "Between you and me, you are the one who has greater odds of getting married, and you can also bear children." So Naomi said to Ruth, "My daughter, shall I not seek security or rest for you, so that it will be well with you?" Ruth 3, verse 1. Now for Jewish people, finding security or rest for a woman is getting married, so that it will be well with both Ruth and Naomi. Now Naomi was calculating because she knew the law of the land of Judah. If Ruth gets married and has a child, not just Ruth will be sorted out and it'll be well with Ruth, for her status in Israel and her days of gleanings would be over, because she would be entitled to all that her husband had and have the same right as any Israelite. But it would also be well for Naomi, because since Ruth was married to her deceased son, if she remarries a person from the family of Elimelech, Naomi's late husband, Ruth's firstborn will be Naomi's, and through that son, all the inheritance of Elimelech will be restored to Naomi. So Naomi had a great plan to end their famine. Ruth was free to remarry whomever she wanted. She was not under any obligation to remarry into the family of Elimelech. When it comes to marriage, the woman must be the one to make her choice. People can make suggestions or can introduce potential husbands to her, but at the end of the day, she is the one who must make the choice. Nobody should do it for her. So Naomi advised Ruth to choose Boaz, who was one of Elimelech's relatives. There was another relative closer that she could choose, and there were other rich young men in Judea who were not relatives of Elimelech, but Ruth did not choose any of them, but went for Boaz. Boaz told her, "Blessed are you of Jehovah, my daughter. You have shown more kindness in the latter end than at the beginning, in that you did not follow young men, whether poor or rich." Ruth 3, verse 10. You see, Ruth had a choice. Nobody forced her to marry Boaz. Naomi only suggested, and Ruth herself saw how Boaz treated her nicely when she was gleaning in the field, how he showed her unusual kindness and favor. Ruth 2. Boaz did not even think that a beautiful young lady like Ruth would go for somebody like him. He thought she would go for young men, rich or poor. But yet he treated her nicely without any hidden motive. He did not look down on her because she was a foreigner and poor. My sister, if a man does not respect you and treat you nicely when you are still dating, the likelihood of him treating you better after you are married is small. Boaz was aware of the situation of Ruth, her famine, and that she was a stranger and a gleaner. No matter what your status or situation is, be honest with one another. Let there be transparency from the beginning. Seek godly advice from men or women of God, for some people have been hurt by people in need. They only got married to them because they were in trouble. The moment they had whatever they wanted, they divorced the guy or the woman who helped them. These things even happen in churches. Please, before marrying a sister or brother in distress, seek godly counsel. Sometimes we are under such pressure and distress that we want to compromise our walk because we think that the person we want to marry is not acting fast enough. So, Naomi came up with a plan to force the hand of Boaz to marry Ruth. Since Ruth already liked Boaz, and she knew that Boaz also liked Ruth, but he was not sure that Ruth would go for somebody like him. She said to Ruth, "Wash yourself and anoint yourself, or wear some perfume and rub some moisturizing cream on your skin, and put your clothing upon you, and go down to the floor. Do not make yourself known to the man until he has finished eating and drinking. And when Boaz lies down, you mark the place where he lies, and you shall go in and uncover his feet and lie down, and he will tell you what you shall do." Ruth 3, verse 3 to 4. In other words, what Naomi was saying to Ruth is this: thus far, every time Boaz has seen you, you were wearing rags, perspiring in the field while gleaning. He has not been able to see your real beauty. So now, wash yourself, wear some perfume, rub some moisturizing cream on your body to make it smooth, and put on your best clothing, and do your hair so that Boaz may see your real beauty. Now, according to the law in Deuteronomy 25, verse 5, since Boaz was a relative of Elimelech and Ruth was a widow in that family, Boaz had the right to become the husband of Ruth, and if Ruth slept with Boaz, the next day people would tell him to formalize the marriage because it was his right. So, Naomi also told Ruth to go only at night after Boaz had eaten and had some drinks. Because alcohol arouses men sexually, as we have explained in the subsection on the works of the flesh in the Bible study of the application of the perfect redemption plan. What would have happened is that in the morning, when people would have seen Ruth coming out of the place where Boaz was sleeping, they would force Boaz to formalize things, because he should not be treating Ruth as a concubine. You only slept under the same roof with the man when you were married to him. And no matter what Boaz could have said to the people, that nothing happened between them, they would not believe him, and they would tell him, "It is fine. You are the one supposed to marry her according to Deuteronomy 25:5, so just formalize it today so that you are no longer living in sin." Some men of God have gotten into trouble and brought reproach to the ministry because they went to sleep on their own in the house of a single sister. They should not be doing that because in the eyes of people they are treating those sisters as concubines. And after people have seen you coming out of the sister's house early in the morning, they will call you and tell you, "Brother, you need to marry that sister because you are living in sin." Even if you say you are doing nothing wrong, Paul says you are acting improperly towards that sister and you should marry her. 1 Corinthians 7, verse 36. That is why Jesus sent the disciples two by two, so that even when you enter a city and a believer offers you accommodation, the two of you go to stay in that house, brothers sleep in the same rooms with brothers, and sisters in the same room with sisters. If you are alone, male or female, and you are offered an accommodation, choose preferably to go to a family or to a sister's house if you are female, or to a brother's house if you are male. And if you are a brother and the only accommodation that is being offered to you is in single sister's house, or vice versa, choose rather to go to a hotel or even sleep in the street. I have slept in streets sometimes because I did not want to act improperly towards any single sister and bring a reproach to the gospel of Jesus Christ. But Boaz, When he woke up in the middle of the night and realized that Ruth was sleeping at his feet, wearing a nice perfume and dressed nicely, he knew what it meant. He knew that they were saying to him, "Why are you delaying to marry Ruth? It is your right to marry her. Do you want some help to make your decision? Do you want us to force your hand? Are you so shy that you cannot tell us that you want to marry Ruth? What is your problem, Boaz? Are you impotent? Now, at least we waited until you'd had some drinks, and by now you should be aroused sexually." But Boaz did not want to defile the marriage bed, so he said to Ruth, "Now, my daughter, do not fear. I will do for you all that you request, for all the people of my town know that you are a virtuous woman. Now, it is true that I'm a close relative. However, there is a relative closer than I. Stay this night, and in the morning it shall be that if he will perform the duty of a close relative for you, good, let him do it. But if he does not want to perform the duty for you, then I will perform the duty for you as the Lord lives. Lie down until morning." Ruth 3, verse 11 to 13. So Boaz gave his word, and even vowed by the Lord, saying, "As the Lord lives," Boaz said to Ruth, "I know your distress and your famine, and I know that it is my right to marry you. But you have been so virtuous all those years. Hold on to your virtuousness, even when it comes to marriage. Do not destroy that wonderful testimony. I, Boaz, promise you to do everything legally, and then we would be able to live under the same roof and know each other physically. I, Boaz, am not shy to say what is in my heart. I do not need to be drunk to take courage to say to you, 'Ruth, I want to marry you,' and neither am I impotent. I do not want to commit fornication with you, but I fear God, and I want to do things God's way, as it is written in the Bible. My sister, if the man you are dating is a true born-again Christian, he will not try to take advantage of your distress and your famine to uncover your nakedness, but instead he will speed up the wedding as Boaz did. You do not need all the pomp. You can just sign the registry and ask the minister of the gospel to pronounce a blessing over both of you, and that's it." Boaz knew that it was Naomi who was pulling the strings behind the curtains, and he gave something to Ruth for Naomi. When Ruth got home, she said to Naomi, "These 6 measures of barley Boaz gave to me, for he said to me, 'Do not go empty to your mother-in-law.'" And Naomi said, "Sit still, my daughter, until you know how the matter will fall, for the man will not rest until he has finished the thing today." Ruth 3, verse 17 to 18. Now the Jews had the understanding that God did not rest for 6 days while creating the world and mankind. So when Boaz sent 6 measures of barley to Naomi, she understood what Boaz said. "Just like God did not rest for 6 days until he was finished, I will also not rest today until I have sorted everything that needs to be done for me to be able to legally marry Ruth." Women are sometimes under a lot of pressure from their parents. They want them to be married by yesterday. So, since they are under pressure, they also put that pressure on the man to make up his mind quickly. Every true born-again Christian is not a time waster to any sister, for he will do things according to the word of God, and he knows the moment he is dating that sister, he has already prayed, and if God tells him that it is not the sister, he will immediately stop wasting that sister's precious time.